I'm Pastor Nicole Chapman Farley, Interim Associate Pastor, and this is The Message. We're glad that you are listening from here in Libertyville, Lake County, or around the world. Center your heart now with a prayer for illumination. Listen deeply to Holy Scripture, and allow the message to speak God's word for your life.
Please pray with me. Guide us, O God, by your word and spirit, that in your light we may see light, in your truth find freedom, and in your discovery your peace. Through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen.
The book of Leviticus can be read as a manual for the children of God on how to set the throne for our King. Our first reading this morning includes laws given during the year Israel camped at Mount Sinai, when God directed Moses in organizing Israel's worship, government, and military forces. Hear now the words from Leviticus 19:9-18. When you harvest your land's produce, you must not harvest all the way to the edge of the field, and don't gather up every remaining bit of your harvest. Also, do not pick your vineyard clean or gather up all the grapes that have fallen there. Leave these items for the poor and the immigrant. I am the Lord, your God. You must not steal, nor deceive, nor lie to each other. You must not swear falsely by my name, desecrating your God's name in doing so. I am the Lord. You must not oppress your neighbors or rob them. Do not withhold a hired laborer's pay overnight. You must not insult a deaf person or put some obstacle in front of a blind person that would cause them to trip. Instead, fear your God. I am the Lord. You must not act unjustly in a legal case. Do not show favoritism to the poor or deference to the great. You must judge your fellow Israelites fairly. Do not go around slandering your people. Do not stand while your neighbor's blood is shed. I am the Lord. You must not hate your fellow Israelite in your heart. Rebuke your fellow Israelite strongly so you don't become responsible for his sin. You must not take revenge nor hold a grudge against any of your people. Instead, you must love your neighbor as yourself. I am the Lord. This is the end of our first reading. May God put its hearing to use.
Today's service focuses on how we can love our neighbor as ourselves. At first, I felt challenged on how to properly address this topic. It's often interpreted many different ways by many different cultures and peoples. Following my message, Declan will read Luke 10, verses 25 through 37. We hear the story of a legal expert who wonders what it means to love your neighbor. Jesus tells the legal expert that he must be willing to help those who are strangers, who are weary and hurting. While reading this passage, I got to thinking of what it means to me and others, that sometimes being a good neighbor can be easy, as the story suggests, but it can also be difficult, because we're now 2,000 years later, with fewer emperors and more technology. This thought leads me to a recent field trip experience I was fortunate to share with my confirmation class. I hope this story will explain better the heart of being a good neighbor. On Friday night, my confirmation class and our mentors went to Or Shalom, a Jewish synagogue very close here in Vernon Hills, to attend their Shabbat service. While at this service, we participated in the traditional song, customs, and greetings. Shabbat is the Jewish day of rest. Shabbat happens each week from sunset on Friday to sunset on Saturday. During Shabbat, Jewish people remember the story of creation from the Torah, where God created the world in 6 days and rested on the seventh. Although much of the text readings were in Hebrew and the books read left to right, we still managed to get a decent understanding of what was going on in the worship. Rabbi Ari Margolis described a prayer similar to our version of the Lord's Prayer that is to be said every morning, night, and when you feel that death is imminent. Following this part of the sermon, we were informed of a story told the day before when a guest had come to the temple to share a message. It was a story of a young man around the age of 24 who was attending the music festival that had occurred on October 7th during the attacks in Israel. The man had fled the scene, sprinting for 2 kilometers with a group of friends, escaping the chaos. Following his run, he came to an old farm where he met a farmer who spoke Hebrew, but with an Arabic accent. Because of this, the young man was unsure if he should trust the farmer. At times in our lives, we may not feel love in our neighbors or others because we do not trust them or fear that they might be our enemies. To continue the story, the farmer sheltered the man and his friends and fed them before informing them that more terrorists were coming. The young man once again ran until he got to an old house with small gaps in its foundation. The man climbed under the gaps in the foundation and hid there until he heard footsteps and men shouting. These voices were of the terrorists, but he could also make out one of the old farmer arguing with these men. In this time, the young man felt that he might be close to death because the terrorists were quickly, quite literally, within eyesight. So he said the Jewish prayer I mentioned earlier. He was scared, feeling alone, faced with his fate, and hoping that all of this would be over soon. After 1 hour, the man emerged to find the farmer, who had not betrayed him, but told the terrorists that there was no one here, and quite possibly saved the man's life. One of the main takeaways from this story is that sometimes you have to take a leap of faith. In this case, trusting your life with a stranger. Everyone can have their own ways that you take that leap, whether it be offering to help a neighbor who's usually unfriendly, offering to pay for someone's meal, or learning of other religions. It can be very scary and different at first, but as we know, God works in mysterious ways and reveals himself at times when we most need it. One of the things that I love about the Jewish religion is how they believe that every day is a day that can make the world a better place. It's never been perfect. We should do our best to make it better for all people, and I truly believe this. This is one of the beliefs that the Jewish religion and our own share in common, showing just one way that we are like. Or Shalom is our neighbor, literally and in faith. In our lives, meeting someone new could be the birth of a prosperous friendship, and maybe talking to that cranky old neighbor can make their day a little brighter. May the Lord help us to love all neighbors, trust others, and step out of our comfort zones in the coming week. May we be enlightened by what we find. Thank you.
Our second scripture reading comes from the Gospel of Luke, chapter 10, verse 25 through 37. The author of Luke is known for showcasing Jesus' teachings of kingdom ethics. Jesus' ministry challenged the political systems at play and continues to guide us in our own understanding of power and loving one another in this day and age. Listen now to the parable of the Good Samaritan. A legal expert stood up to test Jesus. "Teacher," he said, "what must I do to gain eternal life?" Jesus replied, "What is written in the law? How do you interpret it?" He responded, "You must love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your being, and with all your strength, and all your mind, and love your neighbor as yourself." Jesus said to him, "You have answered correctly. Do this, and you will live." But the legal expert wanted to prove that he was right, so he said to Jesus, "And who is my neighbor?" Jesus replied, "A man went down from Jerusalem to Jericho. He encountered thieves, who stripped him naked, beat him, and left him near death. Now it just so happened that a priest was also going down the same road. When he saw the injured man, he crossed over to the other side of the road and went on his way. Likewise, a Levite came by that spot, saw the injured man, and crossed over to the other side of the road and went on his way. A Samaritan who was on a journey came to where the man was, but when he saw him, he was moved with compassion. The Samaritan went to him and bandaged his wounds, tending them with oil and wine. Then he placed the wounded man on his donkey, took him to an inn, and took care of him. The next day, he took 2 full days' worth of wages and gave them to the innkeeper. He said, "Take care of him, and when I return, I will pay you back for any additional cost." What do you think? Which one of these three was a neighbor to the man who encountered the thieves? Then the legal expert said, "The one who demonstrated mercy towards him." Jesus told him, "Go and do likewise." This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
I'm going to unpack a little bit of what we've just heard. So, more or less, you may have heard the story over and over and over again, haven't you? And maybe there are some things that you think you know exactly what they mean, and you may be exactly right. There may be some things that you think they know exactly what they mean, and they're not that. So listen up and see if I can shed any light. And if I haven't shed any, I am so proud of you. And if I have, then I'm glad to be here today. So we start and we talk about a legal expert. And we may think that that means a lawyer, because in our world, that's what a legal expert is. However, when we look at the Jewish written law, the Torah, the first 5 books of our shared Bibles, that is called the law. So this person who was a legal expert was an expert in the Torah, which is where our reading from Leviticus comes from. It's smack dab in the middle. You have Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, and Deuteronomy that make up that section of the Bible. And so this person, if they are an expert in these, this person knows that the heart of the Torah is about loving your neighbor as yourself. In fact, there is a understanding that the Torah back then, in particular, was often compared to fire, water, wine, oil, milk, honey, manna, the tree of life, and many other things, because it was considered the source of freedom and goodness and life. And it was identified with wisdom and love. And there is an ancient Jewish scholar named Hillel the Elder who summarized the entire Torah in one sentence: "What is hateful to you, do not to your fellow." And Akiva, another scholar, said, "The fundamental principle of the Torah is the commandment, love thy neighbor as thyself." So knowing this, you have a legal expert, someone knowledgeable in the law, who knows that is the heart of this. Keep that in mind. So Leviticus, which is not Leviticus by name in the Hebrew Bible, but is instead Vayikra, there is a rabbi named Jonathan Sachs who has passed, and what he said was the third book of the Torah is markedly different from the others. It contains no journey. So if you haven't recently read Leviticus, let me enlighten you a little bit to say it's a bunch of rules, rule after rule after rule after rule after rule. The entire book is rules, and I'll say a little bit more about that in a moment, but that's what this is. There's nobody going anywhere. There's nobody leaving. Everything that happens is centered in the temple. So we look at that, and Rabbi Sachs said, it is set entirely at Sinai. It occupies only a brief section of time, a single month, which is remarkable when you think about, say, the Exodus story, which we know goes on for 40 years. This is a single month, and there's almost no narrative. But at the center of these Mosaic books, the ones that they believe have been written and brought by, have been told by God to Moses, it's the key to understanding what is known as Israel's vocation as a kingdom of priests and a holy nation. So it's the first mission statement in their history. And when it opens, there are
all this information about different sacrifices in the tabernacle. There is a burnt offering, there is a grain offering, there's a peace offering, a sin offering, and a guilt offering. So this is the background that our legal expert comes with, okay? And we come to the priest then in the story, and the Levite. Both of them had duties in the temple. That's important, and I'll get to that in a minute why. The Levite in particular comes from the house of Levi. So if you think about Aaron was from the house of Levi, if you recall that, we go all the way back to Jacob and his 12 sons. So if you've seen the Technicolor Dreamcoat, you have a sense of what I'm talking about. There are 12 tribes that descended from those 12 sons, and one of them, one of those sons, was Levi. And all the people who descended from Levi had responsibilities in the temple. That was an understanding of their heritage, that that was who they were. So this priest and this Levite both had responsibilities that took them into the temple. But here's the thing. If you were considered unclean, you could not go in to the temple. So if your job, your life, because it's not a job like we have, this is an understanding of a full identity. If your identity is the temple, and you become unclean, which you would do by touching a person who was bloodied and battered, then you've got to go through a whole ritual to become clean again before you can go and be part of the temple. So we have a little bit of understanding of why this priest and this Levite crossed the road, okay? In fact, this is a little bit about what it means to be unclean. In Leviticus 22, the Lord said to Moses, "Tell Aaron and his sons," remember I mentioned him, "to be very careful how they treat the holy things that the Israelites devote to me, so that they do not make my holy name impure. I am the Lord. Say to them, if any descendant of yours should ever come near the holy things that the Israelites have dedicated to the Lord, while he is in an unclean state, he will be cut off from before me. I am the Lord." So it's not just identity among community, it's identity with God that changes. So we have a little bit more that we know about those folks. And then we come to the Samaritan. And we all know, we've all heard, we all understand that the Samaritans were not beloved by the Jewish people. And some of us know why, but I'll give you a little bit of a history to the earliest days. So religiously, there is a similarity between Samaritans and Jewish people, Hebrew people, the Israelites. They hold to a tradition based on the ancient Israelite religion, but they reject the normative Judaism, stay with me on this one, the normative Judaism's Jerusalem-centered tradition, as well as its scriptures, except the first five books, except the Torah, which tells us to love your neighbor as yourself. The center of Samaritan worship is at Mount Gerizim. It's not in Jerusalem. And the Samaritans believed that Judaism had strayed from the original teachings of Moses by rejecting Mount Gerizim and developing a Jerusalem-centered theology. And they believed that they adopted foreign religious influences during their time in Babylonian exile. So there are things that the Samaritans and the Israelites hold true together, and then they stray. So the Samaritan, who holds true these first five books, comes and walks by this person, and the first thing that gets thought is that remembrance of love your neighbor as yourself. And we would call this behaving in the spirit of the law rather than the letter of the law. meaning the letter of the law is to say, I'm going to follow this rigidly. These are the things that Jesus was speaking out against in his time to the religious leaders, saying, you've been following to the letter of the law, but you've missed the spirit of the law. As when his disciples are picking grains on the Sabbath, and he says, but this is not what the point is. He says it when the person is healed on the Sabbath. That's not the point, to follow the rules, just to follow the rules. He makes it clear that the spirit of the law is what God desires us to lead with and follow into. And so our Samaritan does exactly that and loves this neighbor, this unknown person, as himself. So I offer you this as I close. Just something to ponder as the time of this week goes and unfolds, and even maybe this month, in the spirit of the book of Leviticus. Where do we get hung up on the rules? Sometimes, maybe it's an excuse to do the easy thing. We, I think, have all been there. Instead of doing the easy thing, where do we get hung up on the rules, and maybe instead we can do the right thing? And so this I offer you, that may it be for you and for me. Amen.
Thank you for listening on our podcast or through our YouTube playlist of sermons. Be sure to forward this message to someone who you believe is seeking God's word today.